Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you, your spirit, and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is our star performer, the Life Enthusiast Co-op's original founder, only founder, and still founder, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Hi, Scott. I'm doing great, but you need to be corrected. The original founder of Life Enthusiast Co-op 1.0 was Jevari Oberon, the founder of Exula Superfoods.
And, I didn't know that.
And I refounded 2.0 together with Darren Bedard back in 2001 when we decided to resurrect it.
So you've had your 10th anniversary.
Oh, so we did. Went by without even me noticing. Sorry.
So was it January, April, June? When was the first the opening day?
Sometime in the spring.
Sometime in the spring. I see.
All right. Man, it's long ago.
Okay, so Martin, we have to plan a big spring 11th anniversary special, something next year, because of course 11 is a power number.
Okay, we'll work on that. So now you said that I was the star, but listen, today the star is White Star. We have with us David Pills, as before, and he's so wonderful. He's so gracious. He's again agreed to give of his time to share with our listeners. And I just want to say again, David's one of the guys who walks his talk. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He does not hold back. He's not taking himself seriously. He's taking himself as I would take myself. I just feel that I have a brother in him. So if he's attacked, I'm attacked. So that means we're on the same team, David. Why don't you say something nice to the folks that are listening to us today?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I don't know what else to say to that. I respect and I honor, you know, humbly that you see that in me. And, you know, I'd like to mirror that I see that in me and the choices that I make in the now, every moment, I'd like to believe are good ones. And I appreciate that you feel that I have something to offer here. I have opinions just like everybody else on the planet on what's right and what's wrong and, you know, what's good and what's bad and all of that. And, you know, I'm so honored that you've invited me here to kind of share my point of view, you know, whatever that is, you know. And I want everybody to know very clearly that the opinions that I am sharing are my opinions. I'm not going to try and speak for anybody. I'm not going to try and, you know, condone or validate or any of that stuff, you know. Just like everybody else, I've been around the block a few times and I've learned a few things, good and bad. And in that process, I'll share my opinions. And, you know, there's been plenty of times I've shared my opinions in the past, and then a few years later or 10 years later, I have a revelation and maybe that opinion might change, you know. And the best that we can hope for is to be truthful. And I don't mean just being honest, but be truthful, you know, with where you're at, with what you're expressing, with the walk that you're walking. And at the end of the day, you know, it's really only that guy in the mirror that has to kind of keep score, if you like, you know.
So I hear you.
Yeah, so I appreciate what you're saying, Martin, about, you know, I mean, and wow, I mean, it was, you know, right from your lips to the center of my heart, you know, to hear these words that you speak and what have you. But I assure you, I mean, I also reciprocate those same feelings for yourself. I would not necessarily have accepted this opportunity to share if I didn't feel the same way about yourself. So,
great.
You've been at this for a long time, and you have a significant reputation for being not just honorable, but kind of a stickler for honor. You know, you know, I've heard some rumors, my good man, about, you know, you being in a situation of maybe elaborating or, you know, contriving things, and you refuse to. And it's that, you know, choosing to stick to what honor, again, truth, all those things that you know, I got a funny feeling that we're going to be walking beside each other's paths for quite some time. And if in any way, shape, or form I can be there for you and offer you something, you know, please feel free to ask. The answer's already yes.
I will. Thank you.
Yes.
So I actually just jumped in the middle of it. So if people don't know why David is on the call today, David brings to us the products from his Om Haven Ranch, the Om Mana, the white gold, the Armus products. So that's our that's the commercial side of our relationship. And I would like to talk about that some today. We have described the wonders that that exist on the property that you have, the wonderful aquifer that's in touch with the now inactive volcano, but still that has this phenomenally rich springs that percolate up in the springtime through these layers of who knows what volcanic material that bring to surface these rich, I don't know what to call it, magical elements that are not readily found on the Mendeleev table of elements. So in general, they're called Armus.
Yes, I completely concur. And there's actually been a number of scientists out there who, of course, are looking at our, you know, previously what we thought was it, periodical table of, you know, elements, and who are very aware of the fact that we now have to be, you know, changing that and upgrading that and adapting it to recognize, you know, that there's a whole lot more going out there in the universe than, and even on our planet, than what we've, you know, previously thought, you know. fascinating stuff. I must admit, the world of alchemy is not one that I am an expert in, at least not in that world, you know. Alchemy to me, of course, you know, the spiritual properties of it, the, you know, those dynamics, you know, I readily, absolutely understand, and I've been exploring my whole life. But working in the lab, you know, with, you know, beakers and glass jars and thermometers and pH meters and all that, you know, please excuse my my amateur jargon. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot there. But I do know what I do know. And like you were suggesting, here at Om Haven, and I want to share with your listeners, Om Haven was chosen ultimately because the sound of Om, you know, translates through many different cultures as, you know, that sound of unconditional love, that sound of love, I guess, you know. And Haven means home. So, you know, from my perspective, putting the two together means love lives here. And that really is the walk that we try and walk, you know. And when I first stepped into purchasing Om Haven about 6 years ago, the whole idea was to create a self-sustainable community, was to create a place where people could come and learn how to also walk that path of self-sustainability. You know, it's not new, you know, in any way, shape, or form. Organizations like Findhorn and even Hollyhock and there's Marsden too. There have been so many other communities out there who've kind of done this as well. And, you know, I thought that maybe, you know, I could bring a few really cool, like-minded people together and create a scenario like that of my own, you know. And, you know, not to say, you know, kind of screw you, the rest of the world, but certainly to be in a position of choosing the kind of lifestyle that we're going to live, you know, which has everything to do with, you know, back to basics, you know, loving the earth. You know, we're not only certified organic, for example. We take it to a whole nth degree, you know, permaculture and biodynamic gardening and all of those, you know, amazing technologies that have been around for some time. And what that means, of course, is that if we have a bug showing up on one of our plants that, you know, would normally be dealt with a pesticide, instead we're translating that into introducing either another bug that will take care of that or potentially even planting a plant, you know, close by that particular patch so that we'll take care of that bug as well. Mother Nature provides everything you need. Everything. And that's mind, body, and soul, you know, from my perspective. I can share with you that I did not know when I first bought Om Haven that there was this amazing find here, you know? And you know, there's something about Ormus that is unique, almost bizarre. And there have been some people who have come forward who suggested that, you know, without somebody showing up on this property with the right intention, with the ability to kind of love the earth and bring all that goodness out, that it may not have actually been discovered in the first place, you know, and I could see that, you know. What makes this particular, the whole story of how I found the Ormus and all of that is, you know, I'm in awe of the process, genuinely in awe of the process and how it showed up in our world. And when an extreme environmental condition presents itself, like nuclear radiation and all those damaging of things that are taking place these days, chemtrails, etc., I find it fascinating that, you know, the Earth provides such a loving, gentle, amazing answer to that. You know, the balance continues, you know. And, you know, I can't even take much personal responsibility, you know, for this other than just being a conduit, just recognizing the omens and recognizing the signs and following that good energy until at the end of the day, you know, there's some success, not just for myself but for others, you know. I really like, in other words, what I'm saying is I really like the fact that Ormus, the Ormus products are something right now that people on this planet really need. They really need it. They just don't even know they need it yet. And this, if you want to call it a secret, you know, has been kept for a very, 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 very long time from Joe and Jane Public. And I think that Joe and Jane Public deserve health. I think that they deserve to, you know, be in that good place, you know?
Well, we were going to talk a bit about the Ark of the Covenant and how the people who were in its presence were having to prepare or else face the high radioactivity and issues of that. And then we didn't get to say that in our previous episode. Do you have much to say about that?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. And I can also share with you that, you know, you and me and Scott could probably offer this, you know, dialogue, you know, for a whole year and still not cover all of it, you know. If I seem like I'm in a rush to answer the, you know, some of the questions and share my opinion sometimes, it's because I really feel there's so much to get out. Back to the Ark of the Covenant. Now, those of you who know the legends of it, of course, this is old news, but I'll share it with you for those new listeners. And the Ark of the Covenant, of course, is a spiritual ark that, you know, was used by Christianity and, you know, potentially even a couple of other, you know, dynamics as well, ancient in origin. Now, the Ark of the Covenant has four rods in it, and those four rods are so radioactive that they kill people dead, okay? It really is the best security system on the planet. And if you actually even look at, you know, the ancient city of Jericho, for example, as an example, one of the ways that they actually were able to kind of, you know, accomplish what they accomplished with that city was, can you imagine this radioactive ark circling around the city, you know, three or seven times, however many times you want to count it, and as it circles around, it's weakening the walls themselves because this radioactive substance is just perpetually bombarding, you know, these walls. We've seen what happened with Fukushima and how quickly, you know, this radioactive material could even destroy metal. You know, I mean, things like mortar, you know, may not have any resistance whatsoever. So what's fascinating was that in the Ark, and again, this is all supposed, this is all legend, this is all myth, you know, until someone steps forward and says, hey, here's the Ark, then, you know, we'll keep talking about it, and then when it shows up, we'll actually have an opportunity to kind of take a look at it and see what's what. But according to legend, inside the Ark of the Covenant was a jar of this stuff. Or they didn't call it Ormus gold back then. They had other names for it, you know, white gold powder or manna or what have you. And the whole point and the whole premise of that jar was that the priests themselves, the people who were maintaining and carrying the Ark, would ingest this for a year previous to working with the Ark. And, they ingested it, you know, they ate it, you know. So, some rumors, of course, suggest it's cakes. Others suggest, of course, it's the drops. But the bottom line is that they ate this for an entire year. And what that did was it absolutely juiced up, it cr- cranked up, all of their cells, all the molecules, their entire being, so that when they approached the Ark, yes, they were not immune to the radioactive damage, but what happens is that when you're taking Ormus, and especially after a year, your body heals back so fast that it was compensating for the damage being taken from the radiation. So again, the best security system on the planet, bar none, kills people dead, except for those people who are following the protocols, which, of course, at that time would have been the priests themselves. And, you know, since then, of course, you know, science and even lots of my personal experiences have shown the anti-aging principles of Ormus, the scar healing dynamics. I had a really, really fat, ugly purple scar on my body, 13 stitches, etc. And, you know, rubbing some Ormus on it for, you know, less than 6 months has taken it down to a point where, you know, it's almost not noticeable. You know, so what it, again, what it does is it heals back all the damage that we can take from our environment. And, you know, these days, everything from cell phones to microwaves to, you know, all of it, chemtrails, nuclear radiation, that's not a bad idea. Does that make sense at all to you? Hello.
I don't know. Scott has gone away.
No. I was actually waiting for Martin to jump in there. It actually does. So what you're saying is the Om Haven Ormus, you can take topically as well as, you know, putting it under your tongue sort of thing.
Absolutely. There is literally a billion-dollar industry out there, and not to get stuck on money, but there's a billion-dollar health and beauty industry out there specifically wrapped around the Ormus products. If you pick up a number of lotions, you know, that say anti-wrinkle on the front cover, if you turn it around on the back and you read the ingredients, you're likely to see an ingredient called Ormus water. Again, this is not even a secret. This is something that's been proven, tangible, repeated over and over and over. As an anti-wrinkle cream and as an anti-aging cream, it's fascinating. Internally, Ormus takes the body from acidic to alkali. And I know that Martin absolutely could explain this way better than I could. He's the expert in nutrition and these things inside. But, again, taking the body from acidic to alkali, from what I understand, enables the body to get into a perfect, if you like, a stasis, a perfect health. It's the acidity that actually causes the dis-ease and the damage and what have you. So taking it internally, of course, is going to take your body back to that. Taking it topically, either by soaking in the bathtub with it or, you know, putting some of this Ormus into a lotion that you rub on yourself, it absolutely has value and benefits as well. And, you know, systemically or through the process of osmosis, you absolutely absorb it into your cells, and then those cells become healthy. What's fascinating is the only really negative contraindication that I've heard of in relation to this dynamic that takes place is in the issue of tumor patients. There have been some tumor patients who, unfortunately, if the tumor is in the skull, where there's not a lot of room to move, there have been some issues, and that's because when someone starts taking the Ormus, the tumor itself, because the cells become healthy again, will slightly enlarge. And they slightly enlarge and then immediately, once they're healthy, begin, you know, get reabsorbed back into the body. But if it's in the skull and there's no room to move, that might cause some problems of its own, right? So, you know, it's been an amazing, almost like a snake oil product, you know, because it works on so many things. But I got to tell you, the bottom line is that the only thing I've heard of negatively at this point in time is, like I said, if someone has a tumor in their brain and there's nowhere to go, then please just make sure you're working with your doctor for, you know, things like drainage, you know, and such things like that.
Yeah, in defense of taking Ormus, Ormus is available on the entire planet. The only question is concentration. And so when you have not much of it or not enough of it, your health tends to dwindle. But when you supplement it in greater quantities, the health force, the life force in your body is amplified. And that's the best I could explain it.
absolutely, kind of like liquid tea, you know?
Right.
I mean, we know that an apple has a certain amount of ormus, a certain amount of life in it. But in today's day and age, you need to literally, you know, eat a wheelbarrow full of apples to get the same kind of, you know, quality or quantity of ormus that you would normally have gotten in the past, you know? And, you know, yes, definitely, ormus is in all things. Ormus is in everything living. And, you know, so far, the industry as it is out there has been, you know, kind of exploring the process of how to extract it and where can we get it from. And, you know, thus far, from what I've learned, Dead Sea salts seem to carry some of the highest levels of this. And the reason for that, of course, is, and let me just quickly explain how, you know, kind of it works again. You know, from the volcanoes comes all of these trace elements and all these essential, you know, vitamins and all that. And out of the volcano it comes, making its way down through the land to the ocean and feeding everything in between, you know, the plants and the birds and the bugs and the people and the, all of that, until inevitably it ends up in the sea. And then from the sea, of course, it concentrates down into things like Dead Sea salts, coral, pearl. I mean, I remember when coral was all the rage, and in some circles it absolutely is. It's my opinion that's because of the ormus in it. May or may not be because of anything else in it other than just the concentrated ormus itself. So absolutely, Martin, you're bang.
Yeah, I think
everywhere.
Yeah, David, I think you're right about declaring that indeed the living things living in the oceans will concentrate it into their bodies, as will the coral, and that's why coral calcium is good, and the pearls too, and recently we have seen products on the market, pearlseum is one of them, that isolate or concentrate the beneficial materials from that. But what's interesting is when you do the extraction process, or the concentration process, when you use Dead Sea salt, you get a lot of precipitate,
yes,
which is because the Dead Sea salt contains a lot of magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not necessarily mean that there's a lot of ormus in it.
I agree.
When I did the extractions, I mean, I've been doing the ormus drops or ormus concentration process since the mid-90s. Originally, I learned it from a fellow who was known as the Essene in the circles, secondhand. David Hudson, we have probably mentioned him. David Hudson came into North America's public domain in about 1995, 96 with his lectures. And I was one of the original investors in his Spirits of the Science Foundation, and was indirectly involved in helping him in that process. Anyway, the interesting part there is that, as we have all learned, this wet method concentration process, I found that if I drop out the Himalayan crystal salt, it doesn't look like much is happening, and yet there is plenty of the ormus in this otherwise clear, not looking like much liquid, whereas the Dead Sea salt, it drops out as rich as milk. And yet, there actually is less of the beneficial ormus in it, because the ormus itself is actually clear. It's colorless. You don't really see it in water. And so it would be perhaps incorrect to try and judge the experience as in, oh my, look at this Dead Sea salt. So much stuff comes out of it. Well, the stuff that comes out of it is just the medium in which the ormus is suspended.
Completely agree.
So something like the Om Mana, even though it comes in small bottles, it actually contains quite a high quantity of it.
Absolutely. And to be honest, as you know, I mean, that was one of my concerns when I first started working with this product, was my product did not look like other people's products, you know. And no matter how hard I tried, no matter how I worked it, I couldn't get that, you know, fat, fuzzy, milky substance that everybody else was producing. And what I've come to learn, of course, and, you know, thank you for your input there, and I've had an opportunity to speak with a number of other, you know, manufacturers and producers as well, And they mirrored exactly what you just said, too, which is, you know, ultimately what I'm getting out of our water here. It comes right up out of the earth and comes out of our taps, you know, and it feeds, you know, every part of Omhaven itself. But when we concentrate it down, we get very little of that precipitate. I will share that it's pure white. You know, I mean, some of the other precipitates that you see in the market, of course, are kind of a creamy color, or, you know, and the variables, you know, jump from gray to creamy to what have you, probably depending entirely, of course, on what's in it. Whereas ours was dropping out as this pure white, and when you touch it, it was as soft as talcum powder, and it absorbed immediately into the skin, you know? Fascinating stuff. And what I've since learned is that in the little one-ounce bottles, for example, the personal use bottles that we're sharing with people, there's a little tiny bit of precipitate on the bottom, but when you give it a shake, all the water molecules reabsorb all of the ormus that's inside that bottle. And so when you give it a shake, you might actually be, and again, I'm only guessing at a number here. I can't actually scientifically read it yet, just like everybody else on the planet. But I'm assuming what's happening is that the water molecule is becoming like 110% concentrated, if you like. And so that you take that little eyedropper and you put it under your tongue, and you're getting that 110% juiced up, you know, ormus in the water molecule. And then you leave it for just a couple of seconds, literally, and you can see the white precipitate start to fall out of it again because the water molecule just can't hang on to it, you know. So there's actually, you're right, very little precipitate in our product, but there's a real power-packed, you know, water molecule in every bottle, right? Fascinating stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yes, we can hear you, David.
Okay, good.
our
previous experiences, yeah.
Yeah, I know. We dropped out on you. So, yeah, the point would be that even though it doesn't seem like you're getting much because there's no effect, it's just that you're not getting any of the carrier that normally you would be getting in something like the Dead Sea mana.
Exactly.
So don't let the small concentrated packaging confuse you. There's plenty of the ormus in the bottle.
I agree. And I guess, and I'm very proud of this, of course, in the fact that, you know, Om Mana is a product that literally we're getting right from the source, you know, right. It isn't even out of the ground yet, and we're able to harvest it. You know, our well goes down 65 feet, you know, where we're meeting the ormus, you know, where it comes from. Now, rather than waiting for it to kind of come out of the earth and make its way through all of those critters and all that people and all the toxins that it can pick up along the way, too. Our earth is not healthy these days. And, you know, so instead of getting it after it's accumulated all that stuff, we're getting it right from the very beginning, right from the very source, clean, pure. As a metaphysician, as somebody who's comfortable with energy, I can assure with you, even the frequency that it emits, the frequency that emanates off of it, is so much cleaner than some of the other products that I've played with. And I have had an opportunity, as you know, Martin, just to learn it, just to explore it. I took some Dead Sea salts and, you know, made a batch or two, you know, just to see kind of what the expectation is, you know, what other people are experiencing and the product that they're getting, and, you know, using it as a comparison to make sure that, of course, you know, I'm bringing about as high a quality product as I can too, you know. And in light of that, I do also want to share that one of the differences between our product that we're putting out there is energy. Check out my website. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm a very soulful, very metaphysically aware individual, and I work really, really, really hard to make sure that every single ounce, every single drop of ormus that not only gets harvested, but bottled and then shipped out there, is clean, is neutral. And I've kind of gotten into some conversations and some debates over, you know, the aspect of neutrality when it comes to ormus, because so many people are, of course, laying energy or intending energy into the ormus, you know, and of course the energy and the intention is 9 times out of 10, you know, favorable. It's, you know, let's make this ormus for healing, let's make this ormus for love and light and prayers and all of that stuff. But it's my opinion that if I was to put an agenda or an intent on that Ormus, that agenda and intent and energy may not be favorable to every single person that is going to get their hands on that Ormus. It's, from my perspective, it's important that it's neutral and ready to receive energy and intention from whoever actually receives it. Because what I think it might be a good thing may not be what someone else thinks is a good thing. And that's okay. But it's, as a manufacturer, as a person putting this product together, it's been my choice and my decision to make sure that every single bottle goes out neutral. Inside the bottle, I also include, and this is in every single bottle we put out, I include a little amethyst crystal. Now, what's fascinating about this was that I saw the vision of including the amethyst crystal in the bottles when I first started working with this. Of course, communing with, Star Nation and the universe and what have you, I fired up my crystal ball and I saw myself producing, this stuff and getting it out there quite successfully. And inside every little bottle was an amethyst. What's fascinating is that, Martin, when I spent a little bit of time with you and we were working in the lab, and I explained that I put this amethyst in the bottles and stuff, you had this really big word that you used to describe what I was doing. And I don't know what that word is. I'm sorry. Maybe I'll have to write it down and do some research on it. But ideally, I included it, of course, because of vision, and second, because I know as a crystal keeper that amethyst purifies, keeps energy clean. It, as long as it's in that little bottle, it will refuse to allow any negative energy to kind of be absorbed by that Ormus. And I did that because I have no idea who it's going to come in contact with between my door and your door, There's shippers and post office workers and et cetera, et cetera, all sorts of things in between. And I wanted to make sure that when I put the product out neutral, that it was neutral until such time as it ended up in your hand, the customer. And then you can decide how you want to program it. And then you can decide, what that means to you. Whether you need it for health benefits or you want to use it for spiritual benefits or anything of your choice, anything of your own design, rather than having my own energy on it. Fascinating.
Cool. Well, David, we're going to have to continue this at a later date because we've run out of our time for today, and it's absolutely been fascinating. And one of the things I want us to talk about next time are some of the benefits or experiences people can expect when they get, and I'm going to assume we should have a certain level of Ormus in our bodies all the time. We don't because it's not in the foods and the processed foods and stuff that we eat in our society. And so what sort of differences can we expect? But unfortunately, we can't talk about that today. And so, Martin, I was going to turn it over to you and ask my normal question, which is if you wanted to know more about Om Haven and Ormus and these amazing products that are coming so deeply out of the earth, what should you do?
Thank you. Well, look it up online, www.life-enthusiast.com. It's in the products, Ormus, Om Haven. You'll see it there. If you have questions that are not answered in print, call us at 1-866-543-3388. We're here every day working on restoring vitality to you and to the planet. So thank you very much, David. Thank you, Scott. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.